Cause he's intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, cause he's intentional, never failing. All things are working
for my good.
Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey. And it never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working
for my good.
He's intentional.
He's intentional.
It's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working.
All things are working.
Hey,
for my
I know that
good.
All things are working for my
all
good. Yes, they are. Yeah,
for my
I know
good.
That all things are working for my good. I can smile again, and I don't have to worry, cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, cause
it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me.
It's working for me.
And I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back. Sing, I don't have to worry.
It's working for me.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. You to look with me in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Amen. Praise God. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the thought is a work in progress. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am a work in progress. All works in progress. Amen. Amen. When we talk about a work in progress, we need to know that we're all a work in progress. Just as we see the work that we see on the highway and in other places, the construction that is taking place, you always see the sign that tells you to be careful, to slow down, to be cautious, because there's work in progress. Amen. Basically, what he's saying, that sign is letting us know that there is some planned construction that doesn't look good right now, but it is intended for progression. What that says to me is that if we are works in progress, then God has a planned construction for me that right now it may not look good,
to the passersby. But it is progressive. And it's going to be good once the work is finished. Don't look at me like that, amen? Because I'm still a work in progress. The older people used to say it like this: I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Come on and say amen. Now, I want to encourage somebody today to let you know that you are a work in progress. Amen. None of us are perfect. None of us are where we ought to be. None of us are where we want to be. Amen. You show me a person that's where they want to be, then that person has to be in heaven. Come on and say amen. None of us are where we want to be, and so therefore we have some work to do. But most importantly, God has some work to do in us. I don't always say what I should say. I don't always think what I should. Even Paul, the apostle, said, the things that I would do, I do not, and the things I would not, that I do. In other words, I'm still a work in progress. I still got some things going on in me, amen? So when we start talking about being a work in progress, we are in the book of Philippians, where Paul poured his heart out to the Philippian church. And one reason why is because he said this particular church was his joy and crown. They were the only church to take time out to make sure that they sent to Paul to help Paul for the furtherance of the ministry, amen, so that the gospel could be preached all over the place, anywhere that he went, that he didn't have to worry about how he was going to make it, amen. So Paul even tells this particular church, he says, because of your giving, because of your concern for me, because of your love for me, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now, we can't say that to everybody. You know why? Because you notice Paul didn't say it to everybody. Come on and say amen. But he said it to the ones who were communicating, who were helping the furtherance of the ministry, who was giving and supporting the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on and say amen. But Paul was letting them know that still, no matter what goes on in your life, amen, your shortcomings, your faults, your frailties, all of these things lets you know that you're still a work in progress. We need to get this in our head to understand that being a work in progress doesn't mean that you don't have to try to do right. For those of you who thought it was okay to do whatever. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't do the right thing. What it means is that in your attempts to do what you should do, you may not be able to achieve it at the moment. But because you didn't achieve it at the moment doesn't mean that you give up and settle for doing what you're doing. But it means that I'll get back up. That's why he said that a good man, he said that he fall what? 7 times. But now he don't stay there. The reason why he can fall 7 times is because every time he fall, he gets back up. Oh, come on and say amen. We can't stay in the rut. We can't stay construction always, but we need to know that there's different phases of construction. You may go through and there's a phase where they're stripping everything down. Then you come back, there's another phase where they start putting new things down. Then you come back and they're putting cosmetic stuff on whatever construction it is. All I'm saying is that there comes a phase in your life that you may have to be stripped down. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, and you know what? Some of the stripping means that some things have to be broken up in your life. And some things have to go away from your life. The old stuff had to be pulled off. That's why Paul said, pull off the old man and put on the what? The new man. We need to do some of these things. And then there's a point in where they put some new stuff all around. New things you have to strip away old things in order to put new things on. Amen. So my old way of thinking has to go. My old way of living has to go. Oh, come on, my old way of talking has to go. Come on and say amen. So when I talk about a work in progress, we need to understand that God has salvaged us. Amen. He salvaged us to restore us, and work has to be done on us for us to reach a certain place in God. And so since God has salvaged me, since he's taken me out of the junkyard of souls, the wretch that I was, God said that I still love him and I'm going to use him just like he is. I'm going to take the same personality, but I'm going to work it over a little bit so that I can use him to reach some people. People think that, well, God has changed his mind about the call that he has for you. God doesn't change his mind. The Bible says that he says that gifts and calls come without a repentance. In other words, God does not change his mind because you're not where you ought to be. The Bible says that the children of Israel was called to spread the gospel. They were called to spread the word of God, to let everyone know that God, it was only one true and living God, that God was God. What happened was, he called them out of Egypt. He preserved them in Egypt, called them out of Egypt, and then he fed them with manna and things like that, done miracles among them, only to have them to turn their back on him. But did he destroy them? No. What did he do to punish them? He scattered them. So that he can put them all over the world so that people will know that there's only one God. What happened to the early church? They were persecuted, not so that they can just be persecuted, but they were persecuted so that God could scatter them. And that's why when James writes, he said to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And so sometimes what God does, he moves you around. I know you left some friends. You left some family. But he moves you around so he can work on you. We are all but clay in the hand of the potter. He says, being confident. Well, first, before he says that, he talks to them. He says, the grace be unto you and peace. And he says, look, he said, I keep you in my prayer. I make mention and make requests with joy of you. Then he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so he started talking about how they had continuity. They were consistently serving God. Amen. And so a person who consistently serves God is a work in progress. Not the person who says, I'll serve God today and I just don't want to serve him no more. Come on and say amen. But a person who wants to serve God, amen, the best place for them is in the church. We got people that say, well, I'm going to stay home. I got to get some things together. I'm working on me. You ain't going to ever get it together. You're going to keep working on you, and you ain't going to work. You're going to work yourself right into a depression. You're going to work yourself right into a mess because you staying home. You working on you. But you need to let God work on you. You can't get yourself together. So the next time somebody tells you that I'm staying home and I don't want to fool with anybody because I just want to get myself together first, you know what? You can't get yourself together. That's a trick. That's a deception from the devil to make you think that you can be like God. Only God can get a wretch like you together. Only God can get somebody as bad as you are right. Only God can justify somebody as evil as you are in your heart. Oh, come on and say amen. Only God can fix that. Only God can ride certain donkeys. Amen. And so I happen to be one of them. Only God can ride. Only God can guide me. Come on and say amen. But when we look at this, he says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. Let's stop. He said, being confident. Now, the one thing I like that Paul is saying here, one of the things I like is that he talks about a great confidence that we should have. He said, being confident. And what that word confident means, it means to be assured. That's why we have the blessed assurance. Amen. It means to be assured. Amen. It means to be persuaded, beyond confident. Amen. To be confident beyond a shadow of a doubt. Come on and say amen. In other words, can't nobody change my mind about what I know that God is doing in my life in spite of what you see, in spite of how bad you think I am. Oh, come on and say amen. Nobody can change my mind in me knowing that God is working this thing out for my good. The devil meant it for bad, but I'm glad that God meant it for my good. Can't nobody tell me that God is not working it out, because the Bible lets me know that if God be for me, then who can be against me? All things work together for the good of them that love God and to the call according to his purpose. Now, I don't know how all of this is going to work out, but I do know what he said about it, and I'm confident that God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. When we start talking about that, let's just take an example. Let's pick one. Let's pick Joseph. No, let's better yet, let's pick Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham, that he went unto Hagar, he had a child with her, and his name was Ishmael. Now, the one thing that I couldn't understand is why Abraham, who the Bible says that he staggered not at the promises of God, but he kept the faith. He believed that God was able to perform that which he promised. I couldn't understand at first how come Abraham would do such a thing when God said, you're going to have a promised child with your wife, not Hagar. Amen? All of a sudden, I understood why God did it. Because if it had not been for that mistake that Abraham made, that there would be no Ishmaelites. Lord, help me today. If it hadn't have been for that mistake that was made, that would not have been an Ishmael, and there would be no Ishmaelites, so that when they took Joseph and put him in the pit, the great-grandsons of Ishmael came through, pulled him out of the pit, took him to Egypt and sold him so that he'd be in Egypt when the famine happened, so that he could preserve all of, oh Lord, help me today. I didn't understand it. Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't understand it at first, but then when I understood that God took that very mistake that Abraham made, and because God is sovereign, he allowed it to happen because he had a plan for it. Hey, come on. Oh yeah, God allowed it to happen. And so in the plan of God, that's why the scriptures say, foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. Even though it looked like Abraham got into some foolishness because Hagar was younger, because she might have looked better and be able to produce a child. But it looked like foolishness to us. But what God looked at, he didn't see it as foolishness. He didn't see it as an obstruction to what he was trying to do. But he saw it as an opportunity to bring some things to pass. And so if it hadn't been for Ishmael and his Ishmaelites, Joseph wouldn't have never made it. Joseph would have died because they intended to kill him. But I'm a work in progress. He says that I'm confident. Being confident, being assured, being persuaded. That I'm persuaded, and the reason why he's persuaded, Paul said that he's persuaded, he's confident because of God's dwelling, his indwelling on the inside, because I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that is my assurance that I'm a son of God. That's what he tells. He said we need to know the reason why we are sons of God, children of God, is because his presence dwell with us. He wouldn't be with us if we weren't children of his. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he sealed us so that we won't have to worry, amen, so that we won't have any doubts about what he's done, amen. And so we have to be confident because the presence of God dwells in us. And I remember what Paul said. Paul said, for I am persuaded, that's Romans 8. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, height, death, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate me from the love of God. And so in other words, I got confidence that nothing will separate me. I got confidence that nothing can move God's love from me. No matter what comes my way, God still loves me. I don't care how many haters I get, God still loves me. Oh, that's the only thing that matters, that God still loves me. I don't care how many times I go back to him and say, God, I'm sorry. Guess what? He still, I remember saying it so many times, God, if you get me through this, I'll never do that again. And God got me through, and only to turn around and do it again. I said, God, this time, if you help me out, I won't do it no more. And then God came right back and helped me out, and then I turned around and done it again. And then I realized, God, you must really love me to keep bringing me out, to keep snatching me out of the pit, to keep on picking me up every time I throw my own self down, every time I get in a fix. God, you come and fix it, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would. Oh, that's why I can really say every time the Lord keeps making a way for me. I don't know about you. I hope I'm not the only one that realized that God is making a way for me regardless of where I am, what I've done. And I can't understand why he loves me like this, because if I had a choice, I wouldn't love me like this, because I know who I am. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to be sober in my thinking. I know upon myself I'm nothing. Amen. I'm just a wretch undone. Amen. But thanks be to him that because he put on me righteousness, because I'm clothed, I'm hidden, my life is in Christ. That's why the scriptures say that if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I got to see that. I got to see some newness. I can't just keep going like I'm going. I got to see some new construction. I got to see some new work in me. I got to have some new thoughts, some new understanding, new revelation. I got to get something new. Oh, come on and say amen. You ought to hear me talk new. You ought to see me walk new, act new. Come on and say amen to let you know that you are a work in progress. God does new things in your life. We got to be confident of this very thing. Can you be confident of the construction? We have great confidence. But then look at this godly construction. He said, he that. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. I'm confident that since he's the originator, that he's able to do what he said. I'm confident of this godly construction. And since God is involved in my life, that lets me know that he intends for me to make it. Some of you say, I don't know if I can make it. Quit saying that. Even though I can't see how I'm going to make it, I know I'm going to make it. I guess I just can't go no more. Yeah, you can go further. Why? Because of his spirit on the inside of you. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of God lifts up a standard. Oh, my God. I'm trying to encourage you today. Will you receive it? Look, the godly construction that we have to understand is that God is involved in our life. He's there doing things in our life, even though we can't see him. But we have to trust him. Can you trust his hand when you can't see, when you can't trace his hand? I can't see God's hand in this, but I do know that he got a hand in it. Amen. You know, the one thing about Job is that Job never acknowledged the devil. He never did. Read it. He never said, look at what the devil's done. But we testify the devil did this. I had a fight with the devil. The devil attacked me. The enemy this. We, you know, and guess what? Job never acknowledged the devil. He said that God give it. God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. He said, though he slay me. Yet, well, Job understood the sovereignty of God, that even if the devil did do it, then it was really God who let him do it. So I'm not going to acknowledge him, the one that did it. I'm going to acknowledge the one that allowed it, because the same one that allowed it can allow me to get blessed. The same one that allowed it can heal me. The same one that allowed it can bring me up out of this. The same one that allowed it can deliver me. The same one that brought the storm can protect me through the storm. I'm confident in that. And they got some construction going on. The good thing about it is that you don't have to work it. God is involved. He'll work it out. Oh, they used to sing this song. While you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. You're trying to figure it out how it's going to happen. God already got it worked out. When the devil was fooling Adam and Eve in the garden, when he deceived Eve and Adam willfully ate of the fruit, guess what? While they were trying to figure it out with fig leaves, with irritation, with stuff that bothered them, while they were trying to hide so that nobody would see them. Who was going to see them? They were the only two there, but they were hiding. Come on. That's what the devil will have you do, run and hiding, being irritated all the time. Oh, yeah, that's what the devil will have you do. But God, while they're trying to figure it out, how we going to cover ourselves, God already worked it out, for he said from the foundation of the earth the lamb was slain. So he already knew. He's involved in this construction. It's a godly construction. Guess what? Not only is he involved, but the reason why he's involved is because he has an investment in you. He's giving you a measure of faith. He's giving you his spirit. He's given you his word. He's invested too much in you to say you no good. I can't do nothing with you. God would never say that. He would never say I can't do nothing with you. It's no I can't in God. Amen. That's why we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. God would never write us off like people. We got to quit trying to think of people as we think, as God was saying God would think of people the way we think of people. God does not think of people the way we think of people. We write them off. We say they are no good. But then God turned around and took a murderer who named Moses and used him to deliver his people. Oh, come on and say, man. He took an adulterer like David and made him the greatest king ever. Come on and say amen. He took an idolater named Solomon and made him the richest and the wisest. He took somebody like Paul, self-righteous, a murderer, drug people to their death and to their destruction, turned them around and made him write two-thirds of the New Testament in which we're preaching from today. Come on and say amen, y'all. He says that he had begun. He's the one that started it. And if he started it, he intends to finish it. The one thing I know about God, he's a finisher. And guess what? He declares the end at the beginning. He already know the end of result. He already know that at the very beginning, before you were born, God knew what you were going to end up. So you don't surprise God with your arrogant self. Come on and say amen. You don't surprise God with your pretty. Come on. You don't surprise God. You're so handsome, but you don't surprise God. Because he knows you from the beginning. Oh, come on and say amen. God intends to finish this thing. Amen. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I got confidence. I got belief. I have trust in him. And since I got trust in him, he is the one that gave me he said, I give every man a measure of faith. He's the author. He's the one that gave the blueprint to my life. And so since he wrote the book on me, I don't care what it is that goes on in my life. He knows the end of the book. Yeah. Only the author knows the next chapter. You buy it, you got to read it. But the author knows because he wrote it. Yeah. And so you reading this life. You're looking at me every day. You see something new, something different about me. I didn't know that about Pastor. I didn't know, this or that. Come on and say amen. But guess what? God knew it, and he knew it. He wrote it, and the book is already ended. Come on and say amen. I don't know what chapter I'm in, but I know I'm in the book. Amen. Oh, come on and say, man, I'm living the book that he wrote about me. So there's some godly construction that's going on. He said that he that began a good work, the work is good. The word work is the word ergon. It means that you actually exert some energy to do something. And if there's energy involved, that means there's power involved. Oh, come on and say amen. And so since there's some power involved, God gives us his power, his spirit, and his word on the inside of us. And there's a work going from the inside out while we're working from the outside. And that's what people do, you know, when they say, I'm working on myself. They're working on the outside. That's why the first thing they do, they change their hair. Got to do something new with me. That's what they do. Because they work from the outside. I got to buy me some new clothes. Y'all don't hear me? I got to do something on the outside to make myself feel new, look new. When I look in the mirror, I say, okay, I'm getting there. Buy me some Just for Men. From the outside. Nothing against people that change their appearance. That's you. But if they're working on themselves from the outside, the most important thing that we need to see is that God is working from the inside. That's why you got to put his word in there. If you don't put his word in there, there's no work going on. You're stagnant. Come on and say amen. His word will work on you. Because when you do something you shouldn't, the word will come up and say, you know what? He said, forgives. He says, he that started a good work in you, he said that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform this work. He will make sure it happens until the day that Jesus comes. So, in other words, what he's saying is that God is able to keep you. Oh, come on and say amen. Paul said this one time. He said, now unto him that's able to keep me from falling. Now, I wonder, I said, Lord Jesus, I just want you to keep me from falling because sometimes I want to say something that I shouldn't. And then he's able to keep you from falling into it. Oh, come on and say amen. He's able to keep you from getting into all kinds of stuff. So I'm so grateful today that he that started the work in me, he's able to perform it. He's able to keep me afloat. He's able to keep me moving. He's able to keep me going. He's able to keep me looking decent. So when I think about this in this construction stuff, and I think about how we have to have great confidence and have godly construction going on in our life, there's a glorious conclusion in this thing, that God is able to keep me if I just stay right there and let him do his work. God is able to perform everything that I need performed in my life. You see, you thought you had to finagle and do things and manipulate to get things to happen in your life. You don't have to do that. It's some things that you don't even have to pray for that God is going to do anyway, because it's part. Let me share this with you, because when you see a construction job, there are some things that you know are just going to be in the deal. You don't have to ask them, are you going to put concrete down? No, because that's in the number. That's in the deal. Come on and say amen. You don't have to ask them, are you going to use 2x4s? Because that's in the deal. Come on and say amen. There's something that God will put together to construct your life that you don't have to say, God, please do it, because he said, that's in the deal. I got this construction going on, and I'm going to make sure that you get it.